Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to the Your World Today Ramadan edition show. My name is Anisa Isak and I'll be keeping you company inshallah for the next 45 minutes or so. While the violence in Gaza Strip is continuing unabated, with Israel and Hamas seemingly ignoring the UN Security Council's adoption of a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in the conflict. To date, 32,333 Palestinians have been killed since Israel started its relentless attacks and bombings in October of last year. The UN Security Council adopted a resolution calling for a ceasefire yesterday, but the hostilities continued this morning. We discussed this with Africa for Palestine's Ali Kompane. Ali, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Alaikum salam and thank you for having us.
Always a pleasure to have you on. So, considering Israel and Hamas continuing the violence despite the UN Security Council's resolution for an immediate ceasefire, how optimistic are you about achieving lasting peace soon in the region?
To begin with, the resistance movement in Gaza and in Palestine have welcomed the UN Security Council decision and resolution for the ceasefire. In fact, this resistance movement have been calling for a ceasefire for the past 6 months because the people who are dying are Palestinians and not the other way around. So the people who are in the wrong, the people who are perpetrating genocide, dropping bombs and assassinating others, are Israelis, not Palestinians. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the UN Security Council, it gives us renewed hope that there will be some kind of peace and security, or the end to the brutal killing in the Gaza Strip. We know that Israel has said, one, they will not adhere to the decision of the United Nations Security Council. This comes from their defense minister, comes from their foreign minister. But also, the statement from Netanyahu was short of saying exactly that, that Israel will not stop at any point bombing Gaza and exterminating Palestinians from that area. But this resolution gives us renewed hope that Israel is being held accountable by international organs. We know that the Security Council of the United Nations is one of the most powerful international organs in the international system. It will be interesting to see what happens because Israel refuses to adhere to UN Security Council decisions. So it's renewed hope, but it also gives us an interesting view of how the international system works. And of course, we think that this exposes that other countries are equal more than others. If the discussion here was Ukraine, things would be different, you know?
But because it's Palestine,
Israel continues bombing without any repercussions.
Now, South Africa has been in the thick of things and, you know, the government has been actively involved in efforts to bring peace to Gaza. How significant do you think their role has been and how has it impacted the ongoing war that we're seeing? And even the word war doesn't really seem to fit the situation that we're witnessing at the moment.
Definitely it's not war. It's a genocide. Palestinians are being killed in their hundreds, in their thousands. I mean, the number of those that are displaced in Gaza is over 1.5 million. In the history of our modern times, this is the first time we see such kind of genocidal campaign being taken out. But look, South Africa looks like there's no stone is not willing to turn for the Palestinian question, and it's quite inspiring. The table motions at the United Nations General Assembly, they've taken Israel to the International Court of Justice. Mm-hmm. They've taken Israel to the Human Rights Commission in Geneva. So South Africa is doing almost everything in its power, in its limited power, to speak up for Palestinians, because in the international system, Palestinians are being shut out. So South Africa has done a brilliant job in supporting Palestine, in showing the world what practical solidarity looks like. South Africa has said in this instance, we're not going to pay lip service, we're going to practice what we preach. In fact, recently, in the past 2 days, the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, said threats that its position on Palestine will impact its economic endeavors and its relationship with the U.S. He said, let it be there. Let it be if that's the case, because our relationship with the U.S. is based on mutual respect and mutual consent. So South Africa has done a brilliant job. Minister Nelly Pando has been exceptional
in speaking
out for Palestine and exposing the hypocrisy of the international system. So South Africa has been doing really well, and I think we must give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. And I think South African citizens have been coming out in their numbers as well. And we've seen that from the many Palestinians and others who've come to South Africa and who've seen just what is happening here as well. So Washington's abstention in the UN Security Council vote on the resolution has strained relations between Israel as well as South Africa. How do you perceive this development, and what implications does it have for regional diplomatic ties? I think you've mentioned South Africa, but let's look at Israel.
Look, we don't. We must not be oblivious to the fact it's not Joe Biden's administration's thinking or liking to abstain from that decision. In effect, abstaining from this decision is just as voting for it. And Netanyahu is right to say the United States has abandoned the principle of supporting Israel and so on. Because by abstaining, it's just the same as voting for, because the decision was unanimous. In this instance, like I said, it's not Biden's administration's liking. It is because the United States elections are happening now on November. In November, Biden will be squaring off against Donald Trump. And the polls show that he is losing popularity because of Netanyahu's regime, particularly in progressive democratic sectors like the African-American community. So Biden is losing votes simply because of his administration's unequivocal support for Israel. So for Biden to get back those votes, to get some popularity back in the polls, is to be seen as taking a position on this particular issue of Palestine. It's not his liking. He's a proud Zionist, but the situation has forced his hand. And in this particular case, there will be, and we hope so, that there will be a breakdown of relations between Netanyahu's regime and Biden administration. We hope they fight, and we hope the United States really does not continue supporting Israel unconditionally in its genocidal campaign in Gaza.
Absolutely. Now, can the UN Security Council act against Israel for disregarding the ceasefire resolution? And if so, what measures could it implement?
There are a number of measures from the extreme to the diplomatic that the UN Security Council can take. Of course, any member state of the Security Council can, from today, table another motion because Israel is not adhering to the ceasefire. The extreme is that the UN Security Council might deploy boots on the ground, or deploy the Navy or the Air Force of a member state to force Israel's hand. But we know that is very, very unlikely to happen. But what's going to happen most likely is that there will be other motions tabled against Israel. Number one, an arms embargo on Israel, similar to what happened in apartheid South Africa. There will be sanctions on Israel carried out by the UN Security Council. So if Israel, which it will do, does not adhere to the ceasefire resolution, they are shooting themselves in the foot. The UN Security Council will sit again and will deliberate on more further actions, because clearly Israel is not taking the resolution very serious.
And that's something we'll have to see going forward, and whether they are going to maybe stop and listen to what's being asked of them. We haven't seen that from them at the moment, so let's hope that they do realize. But one, and I think many people would say this, the whole scenario seems to hinge on Benjamin Netanyahu and his politics and future for the country, rather than for the people of Israel.
Of course, whenever there's, I think our listeners must be reminded that The Israeli regime does not enjoy popular electoral support. It's a coalition of different right-wing parties. Mm. There have been two elections many times in the past few years, but they could not get an outright majority. They depend on coalition, smaller parties getting together to govern the illegitimate regime of the Zionist State of Israel. In this case, we know that every time there's an election, if it's a hung or anything like that, whoever wants to be the prime minister of the apartheid entity would bomb Gaza for popularity. That's what they do all the time.
Yes.
So Benjamin Netanyahu does not enjoy popular support from the Israeli citizens. In fact, before the bombing of Gaza, there have been massive protests in Israel, massive protests against Netanyahu and his regime. So Netanyahu's time is over, it's done, it's finished. This is the last kick of a dying horse.
Mm.
It's just unfortunate that this dying horse is backed by right-wing, evil Zionist men in his regime, in his war council, and in his genocidal campaign. But politically, Netanyahu is finished. This is one of his last actions as a leader of Israel, as a leader of the Jewish Zionist entity. But really, politically speaking, after this resolution from the UN Security Council and the actions from the Biden administration, Netanyahu is finished.
And then, despite all of this international condemnation, rulings, Israel's continuing its actions in Gaza, what consequences do you think Israel, you know, may face from the rest of the world going forward? Do you see the rest of the world who've basically allied with, you know, except for a few countries, allied with Israel, do you see them changing their stances while being more persuasive or influential in turning the tables on Israel?
Of course. I mean, Israel has always been saying they are being singled out as anti-Semitism. They are being targeted because they're a Jewish state. What this will do is expose Israel as the pariah that it is. It will expose Israel as a law unto itself, as it is like a bandit in the international system. Israel is saying to the world, look, everybody has some standards, everybody has some rules under international law. It just doesn't affect us. We do as we please, when we please, to who we please. So it's going to be very difficult for this country to defend Israel, as it is now for the United States to defend Israel.
Mm.
Biden is in a corner because he simply cannot defend this. So when Israel continues like this, they are going to be isolated. States like Germany that are big supporters in Gaza, this will expose the prior state that it is. And we think that many countries support, will stop supporting it.
Yes. Well, thank you for your time. Jazakallah khair. Much appreciated. And we continue to stand and support the people of Gaza and Palestine. And I think South Africans on the whole have been watching this and, you know, just praying and protesting and doing whatever they possibly can to try and bring, you know, some respite to the people of Gaza. And we will continue doing that, I'm sure.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.